it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier, a.k.a. Dr. Crane, just coming off a lopsided victory in the birthday contest where I was trying to guest star and come up with a victory representing the show. But I'm comforted in knowing that Nick is part of our show as well, so we'll claim at least a part victory. We couldn't lose, I guess. It was me versus you.
If you had to a 0.5 and give me a 1 to 1.5 total, not bad.
I think it was like 4-1, right?
It was 6-1, Willie.
6-1.
I'm not great with math,
heavy victory.
I will remember that victory.
Okay. I'm going to be stinging all day from this, but I will recover. And to help with that, we've got Adam Vingan joining us. He's going to guest host with us for the rest of the week. We've got plenty of things going on. The Titans will make the cuts this afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock cutoff. So I would expect that we will probably get some information between now and the end of the show on some individuals that we hear around the league and probably some for the Titans. But Adam, welcome in. D-Mace, welcome in. How you guys doing?
I'm good.
Celebrated.
We got a full team today.
Yeah.
Celebrated my son's third birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Arlo.
The big three.
Arlo growing up so fast.
What, is he driving now?
His little tyke's car around the backyard. But no, he does like to, when the car is parked, try to sit in the front seat and press all the buttons. But not of driving age yet, fortunately. But
I mean, that makes him a normal kid, right? You gotta hit all the buttons
absolutely.
When you get in that front seat.
Yes, but
and on your phone, if you're able to grab your dad's phone, you start punching all the buttons.
That is true. He hasn't made any awkward phone calls yet on accident. But had a great day celebrating my son's birthday yesterday. My wife took the day off from work. My parents were in town, so we had a nice Monday celebrating my son's third birthday. And as I was getting in the car, driving home from spending the day with my parents, I heard the breaking news while listening to Stillman and Company that the Tennessee Titans traded Malik Willis to the Green Bay Packers for a 2025 seventh-round draft pick. So the Malik Willis era, unfortunately, comes to an end. We'll remember.
Was it an era?
Well,
it was a preseason era.
It was three preseasons.
It was most snaps taken in a preseason for a 3-year span, I think.
It was certainly something.
Yes.
But Malik Willis now, I don't think the trade has been made official yet, but it has been widely reported that Malik Willis, now a member of the Green Bay Packers, where he is expected to back up Jordan Love. So I look forward to the reception that Malik Willis receives when the Green Bay Packers are here in week 3, I want to say. I'm sure he'll receive a rousing ovation.
They probably do a tribute.
Scene missing. Welcome back, Malik Willis! Scene missing. That's what it will be. Yes, Malik Willis, now a member of the Green Bay Packers for a 2025 seventh-round draft pick. Are you surprised that the Titans were able to get something? I mean, they were able to get, I was going to say, something of value. I mean, your mileage may vary on how valuable a seventh-round draft pick is. But the fact that the Titans were able to get something for Malik Willis, did that surprise you?
It didn't surprise me because he had a good camp. He showed development within his offense. He showed that he could pick up an offense very quickly and to run an offense. We talked yesterday about the operations of things on Sunday. I wasn't too worried about the numbers and who did what and how they did it. I was worried about the operations of the offense and how the quarterback ran the offense, and did he try to, you know, push things, or did he take what the defense pretty much gave him? And I think, when saying all that, Malik Willis did exactly what the coaches wanted him to do. He didn't try to force anything. He looked a lot more comfortable in the pocket. Now, he still has a lot to learn, obviously, but he looked as if he was developing within their system. and they were able to, you know, get something for him. Albeit it's only a seventh round pick, but had he not shown the development, I don't think they would have got anything for him. They would have had to cut him if they weren't going to keep him. So I think it is a testament to Malik Willis and how he's developed within this program over the last, what, 4 or 5 months. Brian Callahan has been head coach.
I think it does say something that he's not a complete throwaway that you can get a draft pick. Uh-huh. A seventh-round pick, for example, was used to get Nick Folk. That mm-hmm. was a valuable asset to use. The guy you pick in the seventh round, you know, is a roll of the dice. Some years it's a guy that won't even make your team. And then other times you might hit something. Logan Harrell right now, not Logan, but Jalen Harrell, looks like he is going to be a guy that has a chance to play and play quite a bit this year as a rookie seventh-round pick. Cortland Finnegan, I think, was a seventh-round pick. So you never know. But I do think, can we agree that they were going to cut Malik Willis? If they were willing to do this, they were going to cut him and not keep him on the 53. At least they were definitely contemplating it if they weren't 100% sure
that they were going to cut him. I think it's safe to assume that.
So they didn't value him as a guy that was going to be a backup for them anytime soon, right? Because if we talked about it yesterday with Mason Rudolph, and there was just a good back and forth between Chase and Jared last hour about Mason Rudolph, right? Whatever you think of Mason Rudolph, he's an inexpensive 20-something backup quarterback. He is a backup, and they could keep him beyond this year. If they thought that Willis could be the backup, not this year but next year, it would have been easily done to let Rudolph walk and then have Malik Willis one more year under his belt to be your backup next year for Levis. So I think they weighed all of that, and they said they've seen enough of Willis. And what we don't know is what is out there that they might like as a potential replacement for Willis, because you need a third quarterback in the mix. I think it would be on the practice squad, but you need somebody in the fold.
We do have some breaking Titans news.
Bum, bum. Wait, do we have special music?
Do we have the special music, Frazier?
I think we feel like we do.
I think we need this.
This deserves music?
It deserves music.
You've seen the news.
It deserves music.
It's big enough.
We're waiting.
Do we deserve music?
I think it does.
Now the buildup is really moving up. Now we really need to.
Everybody's listening now.
All right, everybody's. We're building the anticipation here.
And we do apologize to you, Dr. Crane, for that. But you know,
we did throw.
This is what we do.
Slow on the draw today for the.
There we go. Breaking news from Adam Schefter just now: the Titans are releasing 2021 first round pick Caleb Farley. Per source.
Okay.
The Titans are releasing Caleb Farley, according to Adam Schefter, of course, of ESPN. So maybe it wasn't worth the music, but we kept Nick Frazier on his toes. But the Titans are releasing Caleb Farley, according to Adam Schefter.
I think we all knew.
Yeah.
Like he's been a non-story other than
the fact that he's been a first-round pick that did not pan out.
Right. I think we all have sort of written him off as a guy that was going to
make a contribution.
Yeah, I think you're just rooting for him as a person to maybe salvage something and be a guy that sticks on a roster. I don't know what happens to him next, but I know he's been through a lot. That's what everybody says. But in saying that, and of course he missed the last couple weeks of camp with an injury, it's just the same series of things. As a player, I wasn't holding my breath whether he was going to make it or not.
No, the likelihood of him making the team was slim to none. He's been behind the eight ball since he got here. He came in as an injured player, was injured in college, never seemed to get on track, and then when he did get on the field, he ended up getting injured again. I do feel bad for the kid because he's been through a lot off the field. He's been through a lot with his injuries. And you just hate to see a guy sort of – because guys go through this, you know, and these are guys that have been, you know, since they've been 5, 6, 7 years old, been playing football, and their dream has just been to get in the National Football League and play at this level and be significant within this sport. And then they go through all of that, and then you have to cut them because of injury. They just can never get on the field. And then when he did get on the field, it didn't look great. You know, and I think all of it, I don't think we ever truly saw the real Caleb Farley, whoever that is.
Right, but the problem was
he could never get on the field.
He had issues when they drafted him. He was an injury.
And that's why this franchise is where they're at now.
Right. You know, because you look at two complete zeros. It's one thing if, let's just take another example. Who was the linebacker out of Alabama that they took in the first round?
In recent years? Yeah.
Yeah, Rashid.
Rashad Evans.
Yeah, Rashad Evans.
Okay, Rashad Evans, not the greatest player of all time, and they didn't sign him to a second contract. But at least he played and
started.
Yeah,
at least he was able to stay on the field.
Yeah, and gave them not zero, right? What is hard to overcome? Like, it's like in class, in the semester, and hey, I think we've all been there, right?
I know I've been
there. It's one thing to get a 62 on a test, and then over the course of the semester,
you work your way.
You try to work through it. When you get a zero, that is harder to overcome, and that's why the teacher is probably said, "Hey, Willie, you know, you don't want to take a zero, okay?
Yeah,
make it up, and I'll give you a 50, or I'll give you a 70." But it's hard to make up two zeros. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley, your first round pick. That is an inheritance that Rand Carthon and the front office now have that they are trying to overcome. That's why they are working at such a deficit in players 24 and under, which we've documented a lot.
And we'll see what happens with Treylon Burks. Not that Treylon Burks is going to be cut by the Titans, but another first-round pick that so far has not panned out for the Titans.
Yeah, teetering.
Yes.
Not a zero, but I'm not sure we can give him much of a
grade. If we're doing that pass-fail thing that I did in college, he's
right on the edge. He's right on the border. It could go either way.
Right.
And then let's also mention Willis, right? Willis is in this group of, you know, in retrospect, at the time, I thought it was a worthy risk picking him in the third round with, hey, you know, you're looking for the next guy. Maybe he's the guy. But they used the third round pick, and essentially you don't get a hit on that. So this is all part of three drafts that have given them, you know, a failing grade. There's no way around it.
Now, I did send this to Nick, so hopefully he has it handy. Doing some research last night, I stumbled upon a scouting report of Malik Willis from Mina Kimes of ESPN during the 2022 NFL Draft Combine. And this is not to pick on Mina Kimes, who I think is as sharp as a tack, but this just tells you, this exemplifies the peril of prospect analysis. This was Mina Kimes talking about Malik Willis during the 2022 NFL Draft Combine.
I think he is the most interesting player in the draft. And when I watch him, I still have questions. Like, I don't know if he can cut down on the sack rate and the turnovers or run a pro-style offense, frankly. But I do know this. Watching his tape, there are more moments where I say words I can't say on cable television than any other quarterback, maybe even player in this class. I mean, his traits are unreal. The rushing ability, I just said to you guys where we started, like, instantly I would put him in the top three in the NFL with his running style. The arm talents, the off-platform throws, the deep ball. There are going to be teams that look at him and have visions, maybe wrong visions, of Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Todd, you talked about his ceiling. I think his ceiling is outer space, and someone is going to want to board that rocket ship, even if it goes horribly wrong.
His ceiling is outer space.
That's beyond the roof. That's past
the roof.
That is beyond the ceiling is the roof. It's outer space. And someone took a chance on it. The Titans did. It didn't work out.
In the third round, yes.
I remember Malik Willis being talked about as a first-round talent.
And I think she was talking.
Draft.
I think Mina, and I would, I think anybody like Mina or anybody else, You will find a clip or two like that where it's cringeworthy two or three years later.
That has not aged well.
The
rocket ship has not gone to the right planet on that. Yeah, it's now heading to Green Bay.
But best, the ceiling is the roof.
The rocket ship didn't even get off the planet. What are you talking? It didn't even get 10,000 feet in the air, Willie.
I do want to point this out from Dane Brugler. There were 9 quarterbacks drafted in the 2022 NFL draft. Only the final two, both seventh rounders, are still with the team that drafted them. Kenny Pickett, traded. Desmond Ridder, traded. Malik Willis, traded. Matt Corral, cut. Bailey Zappe, cut today, reportedly, by the New England Patriots. Sam Howell, traded. The only two that are left on their teams, Skylar Thompson, who's now the backup in Miami, and Brock Purdy, who was, of course, the last pick in the draft. So, not a great 2022 quarterback class.
It also is an illustration, and this is not to make fun of Mina Kimes at all, because it does remind us how much talking there is about a draft before the draft.
Yeah,
and you are, the more you talk, and the more you realize this is such an inexact science, you are going to be wrong more than you're going to be right. And so everybody, I don't care what analyst you're talking about, is going to have a clip like that.
Oh, of course. I'm sure there are a bunch of analysts that are, you know, if they heard, you know, what they were saying about that group of quarterbacks, they probably would cringe. Like, ugh, I may not want to, you know, give my opinion on quarterbacks anymore. But that's what happens when the whole draft, because the draft is built on one player and one position only. The quarterback position. When you have, just like this past season and last season, there were a plethora of quarterbacks coming out. People talked about the draft. Why? Because of Caleb Williams. Last year, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young and Will Levis and whoever else, Bo Nix, guys like that. Well, Bo Nix came out this season, this year. But it was guys like that that were talking. They drove the draft that year when Malik Willis and all those guys came out, they were pulling at straws to try to find a first round quarterback. So any and every attribute that they could put on it that would agree with what they were saying, they were doing it. But Mia Kimes is right. He has attributes. He has certain talent,
but when we saw Malik Willis,
put it
we
all
never
together.
Saw those attributes
yeah, that's
that
what
she
I'm
was
saying.
Talking about. Never saw those.
You saw it in college, but it didn't translate.
Yeah.
So when you don't have that bona fide number one quarterback, you start talking yourself into guys that are really
the
fifth round guys.
Yes.
Exactly. But you talk them into the second round or the first round. We've seen this year after year when there's either not a market for quarterbacks or the market for quarterbacks that year in the draft isn't good. They talk themselves into believing that quarterback right there, who is nothing more than an eighth-round pick if they had eight rounds, they talk themselves into putting them in a first or second round. And unfortunately for Malik Willis, fortunately for him, because he went from a guy that probably shouldn't have got drafted in the third round, based upon how he looks now, to a guy that people talked up and then they end up taking a chance on him in the third round.
But you know what's interesting, D-Mace? One point you've always made about Malik is, hey, before you completely write him off, because this is a guy that got thrown to the Wolves,
yes.
Right? When he was not ready to play, that was a huge mistake that they made 2 years ago, is making him the backup quarterback because the other option was Logan Woodside. They tried to go super cheap, and they tried to take advantage and roll the dice because Tannehill had stayed healthy, right? That was something that up until 2 years ago, Tannehill had been very durable. So they thought they could get by with Willis as the backup, and he had to play, and it burned them terribly. And that was unfair to Malik Willis.
Absolutely.
And then he also had to play last year. But what does that do? At least he has some experience that he takes to Green Bay, and now all he's got to do is be better than Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, which is a point you've made. Hey, if you think Willis is bad, there's a lot of bad backup quarterbacks in the league.
Now, if I recall correctly, didn't Sean Clifford beat out Will Levis in college? And that's why
Clifford is at was from Penn State.
And Levis transferred as a result. Do I have this right?
That is correct.
So the circle of life here, guys. the NFL, it's like this.
How quick can Nick pull up circle of life from the line?
I mean, I can sing it, but nobody wants to hear that. But as we said, the news so far, not a shocking development, but the first major cut by the Titans. According to Adam Schefter, the Titans have released Caleb Farley, who started two games as a member of the Tennessee Titans. Appeared in 12 games, started two. No games last season.
And those starts, I don't think he remained in there the whole game. Like, they didn't go well.
No. There we go.
That's my boy, Nick. That's my boy, Blue.
Is that Elton John?
Yes.
Okay, I just have to make sure, yeah. It is the circle of life. It doesn't matter if it's college or professional. Everybody is connected in some form or fashion. So Malik Willis goes to Green Bay, where he will presumably overtake Sean Clifford to be the Packers' backup quarterback after Sean Clifford beat out Will Levis at Penn State, which sent Will Levis to Kentucky, if I have that right.
That's right.
You know, it's the someday, circle of life.
Someday these quarterback shuffles in college, the way they transfer now, there's going to be some serious scripts, circles of life. You could just call it the quarterback circle of life.
Right, we could. But
we got something here.
As we discussed, now that the Titans have traded Malik Willis, and we'll get into this more in depth as well with Tim Hasselbeck, who will join us in the next segment, the Titans do not have a third quarterback on their roster. Now, I want to read this because this came out yesterday. I feel like there might be some confusion about the third quarterback rules in the NFL. And this story came out yesterday. NFLPA vetoes emergency third quarterback rule. Teams were informed that the Players Association vetoed the revised emergency third quarterback rule that would have allowed teams to elevate a bona fide quarterback from the practice squad an unlimited number of times. The rule reverts to the 2023 parameters, which state that an emergency third quarterback must be on the 53-man roster or as one of two standard elevations per week. An elevated quarterback would have to be active for the game rather than the emergency role. A player can be activated three times per season. So I think that's important context
as we
discuss the potential addition of another quarterback for the Titans.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, essentially. That's what the league wanted.
But why does the league do this, though? I mean, this is so stupid.
But if I was an owner, I would want it too, because then I don't have to pay him. You know, I could just send him down and bring him up when I need him.
The owners are really hurting for money for the what the third quarterback is going to make.
Hey, I get
great.
Listen, Willie, I understand it. As a former player rep, I like that the NFLPA vetoed that, but I'm just saying, this is what they're thinking. Like, I don't want to have to, one, make him a permanent fixture on a 53-man roster, and I don't want to have to pay him the money that I would to be an active player. So what I can do is put him on a practice squad. Hopefully he goes through waivers, put him on a practice squad, and every week just bring him up. Just bring him up.
But that's a nuance, though, that makes it even more a little more difficult to navigate that, right? It'd be one thing to just always be able to elevate your quarterback without any penalty every week from the practice squad. But now you're saying there's a limited time that you could do that.
There is a limited. So if I have this correctly, the NFL, meaning the owners, wanted the ability to elevate a quarterback off the practice squad or an emergency quarterback an unlimited number of times per season. That's what the owners wanted.
Yes, that's what they should be able to do.
The NFLPA viewed the rule as a sort of legal stashing.
Wait a minute, teammates, you need to talk
to
your people.
That's basically what did I just say? Stash a player, bring him up and down.
It's the players of.
That's why I. That's why I'm glad the NFLPA was like, we know what y'all are trying to do. No, either you're gonna have him on the roster or you're not. So
to reiterate, the rule is an emergency third quarterback must be on the 53-man roster or as one of two standard elevations per week. Mm-hmm. An elevated quarterback would have to be active for the game. Rather than in the emergency role, a player can be activated three times per season. So that's
so
the rule.
Lame.
Yeah.
That's the rule. But we will see what happens. We'll see which quarterbacks are cut around the league. I did see one notable name cut. Bailey Zappe has been reportedly
cut. Western Kentucky's finest.
Yes. Nick Frazier pointed that out to me today. Bailey Zappe has been cut reportedly by the New England Patriots. We saw Mike White over the weekend cut by
another Western Kentucky guy.
Really?
Yep.
What's up with these Hilltoppers not being able to keep a job?
They're good products, threes. All right? They're good products in the NFL. They just
wasn't Logan Woodside Western Kentucky as well?
I believe UAB. But Conference USA.
Man, these Western Kentucky quarterbacks, man, they can't hold down a job.
Yeah.
I swear Logan Woodside went to Western Kentucky. If I pulled that correctly, I'm going to pat myself on the back. But there will be options, including in the
Toledo.
Okay, Toledo.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky, Toledo, tomato, tomato. That's what I say.
Not too far of a drive.
Yes. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The news of the day so far as it relates to the Titans, according to Adam Schefter, the Titans are releasing Caleb Farley. not a surprise, but according to Schefter, that's the direction the Titans are going in. And of course, yesterday, Malik Willis traded from the Titans to the Green Bay Packers for a 2025 seventh round draft pick. We'll get into all of that next with our friend Tim Hasselbeck, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and on the line with us, our friend Tim Hasselbeck, as he joins us every week. Tim, we were talking about to open the show the Titans trade of Malik Willis to the Green Bay Packers for a 2025 seventh round draft pick. What were your thoughts on the trade? And we played a clip in the previous segment from Mina Kimes at ESPN, who you know well, talking about Malik Willis at the 2022 NFL Draft Combine, saying his ceiling is outer space. Now, it hasn't happened that way yet, but what do you see as the next chapter for Malik Willis as he leaves Tennessee and heads to Green Bay?
Yeah, I think he finds himself in a similar situation to the one that he was in Tennessee, to be honest. You know, in that there's somebody else that's the starter. And so he finds himself as a developmental prospect, but just with a new team. And sometimes it's good to have a fresh set of eyes, fresh set of coaches and personnel department that want to see you develop. And so, you know, maybe that's helpful, but I think the scenario is similar. And the challenge ends up being he's going to go to Green Bay, and there's, you know, most likely not really an opportunity for him to kind of show what he can do to that coaching staff until next preseason. So, you know, I also think this, I think it was good by the Titans that they got something for him. I think he could have easily been in a situation where there was no compensation coming back and you just had to release him. So I think it's a good job of the Titans of getting value. And then I think, you know, from, you know, the other, you know, kind of side of it of like who the Titans have, look, they obviously feel comfortable with Will Levis. I think they feel comfortable with the backup situation with Mason Rudolph. And, you know, they, you know, kind of, you know, probably found themselves in a situation of like, look, we're good with the guys that we have. What can we get in return? And I think Malik Willis kind of dictated it based on, you know, how he played. I guess I would say the lack of consistency with how he played.
Do you think the Titans should prioritize finding a third quarterback to take advantage of the emergency quarterback rules? Mm-hmm. Or do you believe, as you said, that at this moment, Levis and Rudolph is enough for this team?
Yeah, I think that I'm sure they will look around because, you know, there are some teams that are going to let quarterbacks go that, you know, they maybe have a grade on that, you know, is higher than maybe the team that's letting them go. So it won't surprise me to see somebody added to the roster, somebody added to the practice squad, or every week, you know, a list of four or five guys that are coming through the facility to work out. Like, that would be typical, and I could easily see that happening. And I think it just makes sense, you know, for that to happen. I mean, think about it from Green Bay's perspective, like, on Malik Willis. Like, Sean Clifford, like, hasn't been a disappointment for them. But at the same time, they probably want to look around and say, all right, there's a guy who's got way better physical tools than Sean Clifford. The question is, can he be a better quarterback than him?
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations to you on the game ball. I saw you got the game ball and the victory this weekend, Tim, you and the coaching staff. So I want to say congratulations to the Innsworth Tigers and you for your first victory.
Hey, I appreciate that. D-Mace, you had a lot of game balls. Where can I get that one painted up?
You know? Hey, listen, you know, they had them painted up for me before I got them.
Well,
so,
I'm saying, like, you had so many painted up. You can at least – Like, find out.
You got a guy? You got to have a guy, right?
And we got to find a guy.
A paint-up guy.
Hold on, Tim. All that damn money over there, and you can't find a guy?
You know what? That's a great point.
A lot of tuition money coming in there.
Right? You know what? There's a student in art class right now that I'm going to go find to paint up the game ball. But appreciate it. Honestly, that was really fun, and it was really cool. Appreciate I actually didn't – I don't know where my head was at. There was a lot going on. I did not expect the game ball, but – we're certainly happy to get one.
Well, congratulations to you and the coaching staff on your first victory together for the 2024 season. Now, what do you think? What did you think of the game this weekend? I looked at it and I told the guys this. I wasn't so much worried about, you know, the numbers that they put up as far as passing and running. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see more so the operation of Will Levis. Did he take what the defense gave him? Was he methodically moving that ball down the field? Did he get guys in and out the huddle quickly? Did he read the hots when they were there? What did he do to help advance this team down the field? And from what I saw, he did a damn good job. He did the boring things, and he kept doing the boring things, and he didn't get tired of doing the boring things because that's what he's been preaching. What did you see out there?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think the way you just characterized it was great. Like, I remember having a coach one time was like, don't get bored, you know, doing this. You know what I mean? Just because it was something we worked on early on. Like, don't get bored, like, if we're calling this play again. Like, we maybe are doing it because we're good at it, and I know you can find a completion. Like, don't get bored, you know, if, you know, we keep sending you in with the same run check and you, you know, keep, you know, getting to the same run. And so I do think there is an element of that. Like, sometimes it's like, look, you don't – you know, we can make football super complicated, and, you know, we don't always need to do that. So I thought that was good. I would also say this, and I think this matters a lot. I thought the pass protection was good, you know. And, you know, we always hear people say, like, oh, hey, you know, a quarterback's best friend is a tight end, or a quarterback's best friend is a run game. And some of those things can be true. But, like most everybody that makes it to the level – that we're talking about Will Levis being in, which is not just making it to the pros, but being a guy that an organization feels like they can build around as a starting quarterback. Most of the time, if you protect him, like, they're going to deliver. Like, that's just how it works. Usually where things start getting sideways is, you know, when a guy is under pressure and he's playing with people in his lap and that type of thing. I thought he did everything well that you outlined. And then I think on top of that, you also saw, the guys up front do a good job protecting him.
Now, do you like the way Brian Callahan, called? He called the plays. He mixed things up. Even though he went to the screen, I felt a little bit too much. I'm like, save some of that for the season. But he, but in my eyes, he did sort of mix up things as far as run pass, going deep, or taking an intermediate route. How did you see as far as – what did you think of his play calling?
Yeah, I think he's going to do an awesome job calling plays. And I think the fact – it's funny you say, you know, Bill Callahan. Like, I also think that, like, he's going to be able to rely and trust, you know, on his father in the run game and his experience. And in terms of saving stuff, you know, it's interesting because, look, they're not – I don't know. You and I have both been a part of teams. It was like, hey, this is really watered down, and we're not going to get to certain things. But there's a long Rolodex of what they can get to offensively. And there's also because, you know, they're not just like mixing and matching stuff together in terms of designing what they want their playbook to look like. Like, what they are doing is time-tested, tried-and-true, proven to work at this level. And there's always a response, you know, that you have in the toolbox offensively to what you're getting defensively. Like, it's already been run through the filter. Does that make sense? Like, I think that's the thing, like, that's different than, like, oh, hey, Cliff Kingsbury's the coach in Arizona. It's like, no, this is different. Like, and it's because the experience of what these guys are doing, and not to say they don't have their own personal wrinkles on the stuff, but like, what you are getting is the run game that had been run through the filter of offensive line coaches like Alex Gibbs or head coaches like Gary Kubiak, and and Kyle Shanahan and like that type of stuff. Like that's what this is, and I think that's why it looks the way that it looks.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us from ESPN. We're talking football with him. So, Tim, I just think about how all this could play out. You've got the Packers, who are a pretty high-profile team in general every year because of their sort of national following, their uniqueness. And you've got Malik Willis, who could be in a big primetime game with a team that has high expectations playing in big games. But it just shows you where the Packers were with their backup situation as compared to Mason Rudolph. So I guess my question for you is, where do you see Rudolph in the tiers of backup quarterbacks? Because clearly the Titans like Rudolph, and they think he's – it was really never a debate between him and Willis.
I think he's one of the best backups in the league. I think I said this to you guys a couple weeks ago. I really think he is. I think he's a fringe starter, maybe even – depending on where you went, a starting quarterback. Like, I think we'll see some quarterback play this year that I would sit there and say, like, I think Mason Rudolph would play better. I'll give you an example. I think he'd be better for the Giants as their starting quarterback than Daniel Jones.
Really? You would take him over Jones?
I would. And, listen, I think it's one of the reasons why the Giants, signed Drew Lock. Because they probably looked at Drew Lock as one of the guys that was probably like Mason Rudolph, fringe starter, maybe play better at times than the guy that they have as their starter. And you might need to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the Titans have Mason Rudolph on a better deal than the Giants have on Drew Lock. I believe both of them are on one-year deals, and I think that Mason Rudolph is less expensive. So I think he's one of the best backups in the league. I think they're getting him for a very, very, very fair price. And I think probably part of it was, and now, listen, I don't know the history. I don't know, Mason's agent or anything like that. But probably part of it is, hey, look, you can be, a snap away in Tennessee, with, a young, unproven quarterback, for this price. So you could go somewhere else where the path to getting back on the field, maybe isn't as good. I think Mason Rudolph has gotten a bit of a unfair shake because of how things started. Played super early on not a great team. Myles Garrett incident. They draft a quarterback. You kind of get pushed aside when maybe you shouldn't have been. I think he's a good football player, deserves to be playing at this level.
Last thing for you. The Athletic always has, I think, a really compelling group of tiers. They get, and Mike Sando does it. Mike was on our morning show today. He gets all kinds of perspectives around the league, and he has a tier system. They have Will Levis in tier 4, which I don't think stuns everybody. The votes are pretty mixed, about half, almost half and half, a few more in tier 4 than tier 3. But the one quote that jumped out to me is an unnamed executive or whatever said, I see him as potentially tier 3, but that's about it. I think the Titans fans would like to think that he could get up into tier 2, But what do you see as his ceiling?
Yeah, I think because of his physical ability that, I don't think because of his physical ability you could ever put, a ceiling on him, a physical ceiling on him. And I get it that, Mike Sando's certainly not going to write an article where, he's putting him into the Patrick Mahomes realm, especially getting feedback from other people. But, I think because he's so physically gifted and then being in the right system, I don't know. I didn't read Sando's piece this year, but who are some of the guys in tier 2 that we're talking about?
It was tough to get into tier 1. This year, they only had Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen in tier 1.
Yeah, so fine. One. So put those guys in then that next tier. Who are we talking about?
We're talking Lamar Jackson, who I think should be tier 1. It's borderline. Yep. Matthew Stafford. Yep. Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love. It's a big tier two.
It is a big tier two. We start talking about, Dak Prescott, what Jordan or Justin Herbert has achieved, where Jared Goff is. And I think all those guys are great players, but I don't think I would ever put an environment at this point to say, like, because here's the thing. He's already more physically talented than probably half of the guys in that tier two group. The outlier in that tier two group is, the physical limitations that somebody like Brock Purdy
right.
has. So, like to me, when I like, yeah, if you're a Titans fan, you should be like, yeah, man, we hope he can be a tier two quarterback for sure, for sure. And I think that it's fair to have the optimism of that. The thing that is going to, keep him, from getting into that, conversation of quarterback really just ends up being the consistency and the decision making. Because physically, he's so talented that, you think about, he's more talented than Dak Prescott. He's more talented than Kirk Cousins or Brock Purdy. He just is, or Jared Goff. He is. And so, it really comes down to the consistency and the decision-making, managing the operation, all of that, would be what tells his story.
Tim Hasselbeck, thank you for joining us as always.
You got it. See you guys. Have a great week.
Good stuff, Tim.
Yep, you too.
Tim Hasselbeck with us.
We're going to get that paint guy. We're going to find that paint guy for the game balls.
I liked his idea of going to the art department. I mean,
yeah. You get it for cheap, man.
Yeah.
So.
We're still waiting on our popsicles. I mean, come on, man. Where to be a paint guy?
Yeah. Come on.
What is this about popsicles? Did I miss something about popsicles?
Yeah, Tim promises popsicles.
Well, come on, Tim. Hold up your end of the bargain.
The popsicle, so.
I'll go paint a football for free.
All that damn money up at that school and they can't find somebody to paint his ball. Come on, nah.
We do have an interesting quarterback release in the NFL, according to Ian Rappaport.
Well, let's talk about that in the next segment. Who are the guys that would be out there?
We will mention a new one to the list as reported just now, and we'll react to what else Tim had to say. Coming up next, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Adam Vingan, I should be able to say my own last name. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, here with you. We were just talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and I mentioned that we have a couple of notable quarterback cuts. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the Arizona Cardinals have released Desmond Ridder. According to Ian Rappaport, Desmond Ridder, formerly the starter of the Atlanta Falcons, is now a member. Oh, actually, he was a member of the Arizona Cardinals, now released. So Desmond Ridder, now available, according to Ian Rappaport, also released among quarterbacks from Adam Schefter, the pride of Battleground Academy, C.J. Beathard, released by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So C.J. Beathard, released by the Jaguars. Desmond Ridder, released by the Cardinals. So a couple of quarterbacks available if the Titans want to go quarterback shopping, third quarterback shopping. They now have some options. So add Desmond Ridder and C.J. Beathard. Mike White, cut by the Dolphins on Sunday. Bailey Zappe, reportedly cut by the Patriots today. So there are notable backup quarterbacks available, but there is one name that I haven't mentioned. I think I saw Jared mention him today. Mike Herndon of PaulKuharski.com mentioned him as well. I believe it was yesterday, as a quarterback that could be of interest to the Titans if he shakes loose. Mm-hmm. And this is who I want to talk to you guys about. Brandon Allen of the San Francisco 49ers, who I believe started the game here, right?
Yes.
The 49ers, the preseason game here against the Titans a couple of weeks ago. According to Mike Herndon, if Brandon Allen does not make the 53 in San Francisco, he's definitely a quarterback to watch for the Titans practice squad. He has a history with Brian Callahan, played in Cincinnati, and has at least some experience at the NFL level, also had a nice preseason. So Mike Herndon and Jared both mentioned Brandon Allen currently with the Niners. If he loses the backup battle to Josh Dobbs in San Francisco, perhaps Brandon Allen, who has familiarity with Brian Callahan, could be that third quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
I would have. This is my thought as you hear these names pop up. How many teams, because this plays into the Malik Willis strategy here, they saw an opportunity to get a draft pick for a guy they thought was obviously replaceable. And when you think about these names, there's a lot of people that have played even more than Malik Willis that they're not all going to end up on somebody's roster. So how many teams are going to, at the end of the day, carry 53 or carry three on the 53? And how many are not? Jared has pointed out a couple of times that last year, more teams than not, more teams that didn't, carried only two. I think it was 19-13 teams that carried two as opposed to three. So if you know that on the street at any given time, there's going to be the Desmond Ridders, the, you know, a couple of these teams I'm sure will snap up somebody and make them the number two. But after a while, you're still going to see a lot of free talent sitting there. So that might be your answer, unless it's a specific case, like Herndon points out here, of a guy that already knows the offense and you feel like, okay, he's good. Let's keep him on the practice squad. He would be the guy you could elevate. But until there's an injury with one or two, you probably wouldn't elevate. You wait and keep that guy on the practice squad as long as you can.
Unless there's a guy that, you know, I believe they think could come in here and develop into, you know, a backup quarterback, you know, possibly even this season, I think then they go after that third quarterback. And I think they, too, put that third quarterback, whoever they get, they put him on a practice squad. Because obviously, if they don't trade for a guy and they get a guy in release, depending on where they're at in the pecking order, it's a guy that more than likely, if he goes to somebody else's team, he's going to be on a practice squad anyway. So you get your third quarterback and whoever it may be, and you just throw them on a practice squad if you want to. I don't think they – I'm not sure they wanted to do that with Malik Willis, put him on a practice squad for another year. I think – well, and they did. They traded him because they didn't want to, one, probably waste a roster spot on him per se, because they didn't feel – they probably felt that, you know what, he's not in our future moving forward, so we'll send him somewhere else. But I still do believe they need another quarterback, but they could just essentially get that quarterback, whoever it is, and just throw him on a practice squad.
I think that the quarterback development system in the league is the worst of any sport. You know, in terms of developing a particular position in a particular sport, the quarterback development system is awful. And so I think that is what is in play right now, and everybody's trying to figure out how to best work the 53-man roster with the rule instead of just making it a 54th spot where every team's got to carry three. That would make it a lot easier to get a guy as your three and develop him. Now you got to play this game of, do I keep him on the practice squad? Do I keep him as a three? Because the bottom line is, for your season this year, if your number three has to play more than a piece of two or three games, your season's probably not going very well. Especially with where the Titans are in the scheme of things.
Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asks, is there anybody better than Mason Rudolph, I presume, available, who has been cut? Then we could trade Rudolph, too. And if nobody wants Rudolph, then we are set at third quarterback. So Desmond Ridder has started 13 games last season for the Atlanta Falcons. I wouldn't say they were good. He had a 6-7 record as a starter for the Falcons, but having watched a lot of NFC South football, it's not good. Desmond Ridder, I would not say that Desmond Ridder is better than Mason Rudolph. He might have more experience starting, but I wouldn't say he's better.
It's a unique situation. It's kind of how Rudolph became available to the Titans, right, D-Mace? They decided to get the Steelers went in a completely different direction.
Exactly.
Like, get everybody out of here, and let's bring in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and let's see if we're better off with that. The Falcons did the same thing. They doubled down on spending a ridiculous amount of money on Kirk Cousins with the first round pick of Michael Penix. So you just knew that, like, they don't have enough resources to carry Desmond Ridder. So they've written him off early. Somebody, I think, would snap him up. But the question is, will they make him a number two? Or is he destined to be practice squad this early in his career after being a first round pick?
Derek and I, during the break, were playing, based on what Tim Hasselbeck said in the previous segment about Mason Rudolph being one of the top backup quarterbacks in the NFL, I was throwing backup quarterbacks at Derek. Who would you rather have, this player or Mason Rudolph? And It was about, I would say it's about 50-50, the guys I threw at you, Derek. Mm-hmm. I threw Justin Fields. I said Justin Fields or Mason Rudolph. Jameis Winston or Mason Rudolph. Sam Howell or Mason Rudolph. Jake Browning or Mason Rudolph. I mean, Mason Rudolph, by the way, has started, I think he has started 13 games in the NFL in his career, which is as many as Desmond Ridder started last season. So someone might take a chance on Desmond Ridder. He had some good moments last season. The problem is they were mixed in with some pretty bad football. But someone, I'm certain, will take a chance on Desmond Ridder.
Here's a good question. If the Packers knew yesterday what they know today, that Desmond Ridder would be out there for free as opposed to trading a seventh-round pick from Malik Willis, who do you think they would choose? Or are they sitting there going, man, I didn't realize that Ridder was going to be out there?
My gut says Ridder, just because he has
it seems like
starting
it.
Experience.
No, yeah. I think they made the move that they wanted to originally make.
It says something about Willis.
Yeah,
if they feel
I think
that
they.
Way.
I mean, listen, they could have. They still can go out and bring Ridder in if they want to. He's on waiver, so if they felt they needed him or liked him, they can still bring him in. I think they didn't want Malik Willis. If they wanted Ridder, they could have approached he's with who? Atlanta?
Ridder was with Atlanta. He was released by Arizona.
Exactly. Released by Arizona. So they would have went to Arizona and gave the same package for Ridder that they did for Malik Willis. But I think
it also says something about Ridder that in Arizona they didn't see him any differently as at Atlanta.
Exactly. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint that, hey, listen, we could have gave you the same package we gave Tennessee, but obviously we didn't like Ridder as a quarterback. We like the upside, whatever upside they may think they have with Willis, they like it better. So
the trade, by the way, between the Falcons and the Cardinals back in March, it was Desmond Ridder for receiver Rondale Moore. That was the trade. Ridder for Rondale Moore.
And Rondale Moore is not nothing. He was a great college wide receiver that was a fairly high pick.
Oklahoma?
Right? Purdue, I think, right?
You're asking
was
the wrong
Purdue
guy.
Was it Purdue or Oklahoma? I thought. Is it
Rondale Moore attended Purdue.
Yeah,
there we
attended
go.
He had a couple of really good games against Vanderbilt, which I don't like remembering.
So
that's why you remember him.
Yeah. So Desmond Ridder didn't make it through training camp. His first didn't make it through his first training camp with the Arizona Cardinals. Reportedly released by the Cardinals. Today is cut down day in the NFL. 53-man rosters are due by 3 p.m. Central. We will continue to monitor social media to see what the Titans are doing. We'll talk about some of those question marks that are left as the Titans whittle their roster down to 53 men by 3 p.m. today. Adam Vingan, Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.